Long time, 14 months of weekly hour-long programs.
Dude, it's a long time. It went fast.
Yeah, it's going very fast.
But everything, you know, like we talk about things on this show, and almost every one of the things that I say that has documentation should be making a headline if it's true. You know, just the kind of information that's coming out, and the people in the community have absorbed it. But when I put it down in printing, then, you know, and begin to publish it, then it's going to really make a lot of ripples. People have to sit and hold it and see it.
Now, regarding the testimony of the FBI at the Bremer trial concerning the fact that they couldn't find his fingerprints on the gun, that they couldn't find powder burns on his hands, and they couldn't trace the bullets that were found in Wallace to that gun that Bremer was alleged to have had. I've heard one explanation offered. The psychoanalyst, somebody who, one of the doctors that examined Bremer, says that he washed blood off of Bremer's hands before the paraffin test was made.
Well, they could wash the blood off the hands, but how do they count the bullets? And why can't they find the bullets? You see, when the bullet was taken out of the back of Wallace, why didn't they match it to the gun that he was supposed to allegedly have if they're going to prosecute the case?
So you suspect that possibly there are that although Bremer may have fired a weapon and may have indeed fired a weapon at Wallace and hit him, that there were others involved.
Yes. Well, the FBI, see, I'm accusing the FBI of planning the murder. And I accuse them because I know what they did in the past murders. And I accuse them of not wanting to find evidence. You see, Bremer had a car, and the FBI didn't pick up that car. It had a gun in it. The FBI examined that car really carefully and went through that car. But the car actually had a gun in it. And why wouldn't the FBI find it when somebody else can come along and pull a gun out of that car? I never mentioned the fact of whether or not it matched those bullets. You see, there's a report here. It's in Computer and Automation, and also it was in the newspapers, that Edward Walsh and Bob Woodward of the Washington Post, this is May the 19th, said the police in Prince George's County, Maryland, yesterday found a 14-shot semi-automatic pistol used as a military weapon in Bremer's car. And the local police discovered the 9mm weapon after the FBI had thoroughly searched Bremer's 1968 Rambler, and there is no explanation of the FBI, which searched Bremer's car, failed to discover that second weapon. Now, the FBI is coming to the prosecution of the case. And I think, follow this, like I say, the FBI has planned past political assassinations, and each of one of those, Nixon gained the votes. If Mitchell, if Wallace is killed this time, Nixon gets those busing votes up in Michigan, Maryland, and the South. The FBI came in on the case to investigate immediately. Bremer went to the hospital for stitches, and they called the White House. What should we do? And the White House says he can go and get medical care if the FBI accompanies him. And when he walked out of that hospital or treatment center, he was under the custody of the FBI, and the local police never had him again. But the local police searched his car. And first the FBI then searched his car, and they found nothing. He had no gun. The car was searched by the local police. The local police found this weapon in the car. I'll go on to read more about it. Now, they want to prosecute a case. The FBI sends their gun expert to say he didn't have fingerprints on the gun. How does the FBI prosecute Bremer? They're letting him off. You see, if all the evidence is in his favor, the prosecution is saying there's no evidence he shot anybody. See, that what kind of prosecution is that? Is that a conflict? I mean, figure that one out. But the Computer and Automation says it goes into the traveling of Bremer in Milwaukee. He left his job February the 15th and went to Ottawa and stayed at that Lord Elgin Hotel and went to the Waldorf Astoria. And he bought guns, tape recorder, a portable radio with a police band. There was a radio with a police band in the killing of Martin Luther King, in the James Rathing, and the John Kennedy, the band, you know, the Tippit killing. There were police bands connected to all of these murders. No, the Sirhan didn't have a radio control. That he went right for the ambassador. There wasn't a radio band in there that I know of. There may be people around the ambassador who were in on it, but that didn't play. These other three had this radio band that goes, the police band on it. But then the FBI went around to everybody and told them not to talk. The instructions of the FBI, in the case in Milwaukee and wherever he was, were don't talk. Now, you know, in the article that I did for The Realist, I mentioned a lot of funny coincidences. They're not funny. I just gave a few there, but in the research, there's always funny things because the bank that he used, Bremer used Milwaukee, is called the Mitchell Bank, the Mitchell Street Bank. I mean, that's in case he forgot where his money was at. It's at the Mitchell Street Bank. I thought that was funny. Like when James Ray, the alleged killer of Martin Luther King, was down in Portugal, he went to the Dallas. There was a Dallas bank down there, you know. Dallas, a bar in Portugal. But he's at the Mitchell Bank in Milwaukee. And the FBI went everywhere and told them not to talk. Well, Computer Automation said agents of the FBI who went to all possible sources and told them not to talk to newsmen, and such instructions by the FBI are illegal. Now, if they're illegal, this has happened in every one of these cases that the FBI canvassed the whole town and said to everybody, if you've seen him with someone or you know something, don't talk to newsmen, don't talk, as if you'll ruin our chance of investigating, and then they don't investigate, and the dumb people are left with the information. That's what happened down in Dealey Plaza when Mark Lane wrote his book about Rush to Judgment. They told everyone not to talk, and they obeyed, and the Warren Commission didn't do anything, and he collected everyone who didn't talk, and they had all the information. The witnesses didn't have the information. So Computer Automation said instructions by the FBI are illegal and have no force of law. They can't arrest you at all for saying what you know. Furthermore, instructions are wrong in a democracy, because they prevent the public from knowing what the public has a right to know. And it is regrettable that people take at face value misinformation they receive from the FBI. Now, this is what happened at the Watergate Hotel. The man who manages the hotel in Washington was told by the FBI, don't talk to anybody, don't talk to newsmen, the librarian at the White House. You can't talk to anybody, the Washington Post. And there were direct links between what these people were doing and the people arrested. And they were shut up. So the Bremer case went to trial. We're ending up with like 11 to 13 bullets. And the case has gone to trial. They selected the jury in 1 hour. The prosecution, which said he didn't have a gun, lasted 1 day. The television this week made a disgusting statement. They said, the defense tomorrow will bring in his mother and father, and then you'll know that he's mentally deranged, you know, and that it was just a mental problem. As if a person from a lower economic class, the boy was spending thousands of dollars, they want to pass it off. There was another remark about the FBI by a man who is going to be in charge of security for this 4-day trial, Mr. Ansel, in Maryland. He attended a conference on security down in Palm Springs, and he went to the Wax Museum where he saw a statue of Oswald being carried away by the sheriffs, and he visualized himself in Maryland, you know, being in the Wax Museum today carrying off Bremer, which is hardly going to happen. And he goes into the fact that it's very unusual that the FBI is taking care of the whole trial. He really won't have to do it. He says, although Ansel, I'm reading, this is from the Washington Post, he says, although Ansel didn't admit it, the FBI will retain control of Bremer even at the Upper Marlboro Courthouse and have the ultimate responsibility for his safety. Now, it says, in the case of Bremer, however, the White House is known to have ordered the FBI, usually limited only to investigating, to have complete custody of the suspect. Now, everything is unusual in these cases. You see, the FBI is going to have control of him. Their excuse being, we don't want to bungle what happened, like with Lee Harvey Oswald. You see how beautiful that was. If they were in on the killing of Lee Harvey Oswald, then they could control every other assassin, because you kill the first one, the first patsy that you arrest, that you say did it, whose fingerprints weren't on the gun and didn't own a gun. You kill him because he said for 2 days, I didn't kill anybody, and there's no proof that he killed anybody. Then every other suspect who may be part of a conspiracy but didn't actually shoot the gun, like James Ray or Sirhan, who shot a gun but didn't do the fatal bullets, or in this case, you get Bremer, and we keep adding these up. In all of these cases, the FBI says, no, I have to isolate you. Like, if I'm not going to kill you like I killed Jack Ruby and Lee Harvey Oswald, I'm going to isolate you because you may be killed like Oswald. So it's just a living death, no matter how you slice it. Nobody else gets to see them or let them tell people. Because, see, Oswald was alive for 2 days, for those of you who don't remember who Lee Harvey Oswald was, the alleged assassin of John Kennedy. And all the time he said he was innocent and didn't kill anybody, and then he was killed in the police department. So the FBI says, well, as long as Oswald was killed, nobody can see these men, you see. So the FBI is taking care of this place, and Mr. Ansel's saying, I won't have much to do with it. Now,
what do you think of the FBI being the only ones to be in on the investigation for the state trial of Bremer?
It's terrible. It's terrible. Well, they did it when John Kennedy was killed in Dallas. The judge and the coroner's office blocked the Parkland Hospital. They said, this is an ordinary homicide. We're going to do the autopsy. And they said, no, we're taking that to a military hospital. You know, they took it to Bethesda, Maryland. They grabbed the body and ran. That's Larry O'Brien, the body snatcher. They took that body and ran. I think it's terrible. I don't think that the people who are planning these things should be investigating them, even if they didn't plan them. The local people should be able to do all the ballistics, get into the area, and handle it themselves. And when the local people do it and the FBI doesn't do it, then they're CIA agents. I'll jump right to the LA Police Department, which is nothing but the CIA, is not even a civil police department for the most part. It's controlled for all these major conspiratorial cases. It investigates them, it helps plan them, and it investigates them. The one more thing about the Bremer thing, Mr. Ansel said, it now appears that during the trial, Bremer will live up in a special jail at Upper Marlboro Jail under the FBI guard, and the FBI was reluctant to ferry him back and forth in town, so they will stay with him. They will guard him. They investigated him. They closed the case when the gun had no proof. I mean, the FBI has to be investigated. I've said this for, well, I'm doing my research 9 years. I've been, you know, writing to public officials for 4 or 5 years. The fact that it's coming to a head in an election year is too bad, but that's the way the cookie crumbles. It's all coming to a point. I've said, like Reagan says, the next election will determine the course of history for 1,000 years in America, and I feel he's right. I know it will. This 1972 election, if you vote for this kind of a police state, and that's what it is, you don't have to believe me on the Dallas, you don't have to do research on the Martin Luther King or John, or Robert Kennedy, but just take Bremer that's happening today, this week, and read your paper, read the computer automation, and follow it yourselves if you don't want to go back, because this is so easy to see. Once I explain the blueprint of how they don't count the bullets, they don't match the bullets to the gun, they have no proof that he shot the gun, and he can get off. This was the agreement. See, Bremer is sitting with the same arrangement they promised Lee Harvey Oswald, because he was supposed to go to college in the fall after that assassination, that if he didn't own a gun and there was no proof that he did it, he could be arrested as a decoy. And then all the people who did the shooting and the crossfire were flown out of town with the assistance of the military. Then when Oswald went to trial, he would be free because there'd be no proof he did it. And that worked for Oswald, and it didn't work for Oswald because then they killed him 2 days later. But maybe, it's funny that the script was written according to extensive research, which I do every day, every week, and you know, continuously, that the way it lined up. And I'm going to someday write a book called Decoy into Patsy, how you hire a man, what his associations were, his funding, his connections, and then how you turn him into a patsy and make him the man responsible for the crime and who actually did it, the roles that switch. Well, it obviously seems that Bremer is decoy for a silencer or a second gunman, and that on the condition that he doesn't talk, he'll probably get off.
Bremer did a lot of traveling before the
Wallace
attempted assassination, and he spent some sums of money, and as you said, he stayed in a very ritzy New York hotel.
Well, yeah.
Has there been any explanation as to where he got the money?
Absolutely no. That's what's so horrendous about it, is that Patrick Gray doesn't, you know, who's the acting head of the FBI, has not said what floor he stays on the Waldorf, whether he had one room and there were two people in it, or whether there were two people, or the three that he was with in Michigan. They don't have to explain anything. That's the thing. They're investigating and they're closing it. There should have been an all-out search for the second gunman if this is August and they knew in May that his fingerprints weren't on the gun. And then, even if the FBI mistakenly missed that gun that the police found. Did any of the bullets match that gun that were slipped into his car? And then he's made responsible. Now we're going to go on, if I can get past that noise in the other studio they're making. Yesterday, the court said that Jim Garrison could not prosecute Clay Shaw. That was decided that he could not bother that poor man anymore. Jim Garrison arrested Clay Shaw for being part of a conspiracy to kill John Kennedy, that he knew Lee Harvey Oswald and David Ferry, and that Clay Shaw was an important link in New Orleans to the John Kennedy assassination. And the main witnesses that Garrison would have had fled to California, Texas, and Ohio and were never extradited, and the others were offered juicy promises and bribes, you know, to not help Jim Garrison with the case. So the jury could not convict on a conspiracy. They could not convict him for being responsible for the entire conspiracy or a conspiracy to kill John Kennedy. So Garrison slapped a charge on him the minute the trial was over for perjury, because Clay Shaw said he didn't know Lee Harvey Oswald and he didn't know David Ferry. Well, David Ferry was killed by a karate chop about one day after Clay Shaw was arrested. And David Ferry was a very important link to the assassination. Also, the men arrested at the Watergate Hotel. One of the men arrested at the Watergate Hotel was brought in and questioned by the FBI because of an assassination plan to kill John Kennedy in Miami and his relationship to the whole group. So the David Ferry was dead, like Lee Harvey Oswald and Jack Ruby. It's hard to have a trial like that. You know, they all are lopped off. And right away, Jim Garrison knew about 21 people that had seen Clay Shaw with Ferry or Oswald. So he slapped a perjury trial. Well, the United States court blocked it and said you can't have a perjury trial, and they just threw it out. The reason is that it persecutes Clay Shaw. Now, Clay Shaw is linked into the Galen operation and into the infiltration of Nazis in America and to the fascist organizations in Spain and Italy and England through the International Trade Mart in New Orleans. And
those are very broad statements to make.
Yeah, well, if this thing opens up in Congress on Nixon's funding, we'll go all the way. We'll go for every mileage. It could go on for a year or two. People could sweep in with all the documentation, including myself, within a minute and put it there. You know, I've stood by everything I've said on this program. You know, I challenge anybody anytime. Incidentally, if you are an old listener or a new listener and you want to challenge my statements and you may not like them and you may not agree with them because you don't like what I'm saying, but if you want to challenge anything that I'm saying and prove me wrong, I would welcome the chance to have a discussion with you. There's no one in the nation who can defend the Warren Report, and there's no one who's met a researcher that would have a public debate on the evidence. So we'll go.
Okay, they can write the station or write you care of the station, or best thing is to write, or they can phone the station,
yeah,
leave a message.
Maybe we better take a break and give the address for the realist, because the copy's on the peninsula, and Paul's going to run out of, they're going to go pretty fast. He'll keep printing as many as they want, you know, but he's giving a few thousand away to get it started, you know, and then the others are going out by subscription only, and I'll leave some off at the Odyssey. I hope they'll carry them. But if you want to subscribe and get it in the mail the next few weeks, it's in care of the realist, 595 Broadway, New York 10012. It's $3 for the year. And you'll get your $3 worth in the first article.
Yeah, good $3 worth of reading.
But
also some very entertaining.
Oh, the articles are fantastic. The other articles. You like that cartoon about Rose America?
Rose America, yeah. So it's worth $3. You could pay $3 for that one issue and not feel cheated.
Yeah. Paul's done a cartoon with the artist from Mad Magazine called Rose America's Baby, an insert in the realist, and the Rose America is a Statue of Liberty, and she gives birth to Siamese twins. She says, no wonder it hurts too much, and I'll nurture both until one kills the other one off. And then after that cartoon, it breaks right into my story of that we have two governments, one hidden, one concealed, and one in the open, and they're killing each other. They are fighting each other off. And that's exactly it. I think the cartoon is just a stroke of genius. It's really a far-out cartoon, and it's great. But
well, and again, we should say that the Realist contains the article on the Watergate that you wrote and a couple of other articles,
oh,
right?
Yeah, the creation of the false motive and then how Nixon came to be president. It's all one thing, really. No matter how you take it, it all ties. It should all tie together. You know, if you can't see the connections by the time you're through with those three, we'll give you three more the next month. Okay. Well, this week, the court said that Jim Garrison was persecuting Clay Shaw. A lot of people say to me, what's happened to Jim Garrison? And we've done shows how the Justice Department, the same Justice Department that does a lot of other planning of evidence, planted evidence against Jim Garrison and tried to discredit him and tried again to go to jail on accepting money from pinball rackets machine. And he was cleared of those. The court hasn't cleared him yet of the charges, but there's no way to go to court. But a gentleman, Pershing Gervais, has surfaced and said that all this was planted by the Justice Department and paid by them just to discredit Jim Garrison for what he tried to do. The Monterey Herald this week had a nice article about the case.
It's from the Associated Press.
Yeah, from the Associated Press. And they said that Jim Garrison is formally announced he'll be a candidate for the Louisiana Supreme Court. I tried to get the Democratic Party through contacts of people in San Francisco and in Washington if they were naming a vice president to name Jim Garrison. Because with the Watergate thing, see, all of those boys that were arrested relate to what Jim Garrison was saying when he arrested Clay Shaw. And Jim knows all about the troops, the ex-combatantes, and the Bay of Pigs, and the people who wanted to kill Kennedy, and the banking. And he could open up the truth for this country. And that's the man I would like to see president someday. But
Let's move on to the Kershke article.
Okay, when
because we mentioned it already once. We just have about
5 minutes.
About 7 minutes.
Okay, when Sirhan was arrested in the Ambassador Hotel, and they say, "What's your name? And how old are you? Where do you live?" And he wouldn't answer for any of the questions. But all he kept saying to the police department was, "Do you know Jack Kershke?" And that seemed to be a key word, like, don't beat me up or don't cut me because I'm one of you boys. And it seems that the Jack Kershke case was investigated by a criminalist by the name of Dwayne Wolfer, a forensic chemist named Dwayne Wolfer, who later was to investigate the Sirhan case, and he tampered with the evidence in both cases, and it turns out that he hardly has any certification, like the coroner in L.A., and there's a case coming up now to open up the Kershke case. Jack Kershke is a deputy district attorney who was accused of murdering his wife and her lover in 1967. And there's a 190-page document now which charges Dwayne Wolfer, L.A. Police Department chief forensic chemist, with willful and perjurious testimony at the time of the Jack Kershke case. And when this article came out this week about Mr. Wolfer being questioned on the perjury, again, in L.A., there was a news blackout. The Kershke case took I'm reading for the Los Angeles Star now that covered the case. At the time that he was accused of murdering his wife and his lover, it took as much space in the press as the Tate, LaBianca, and the Kennedy. But when Wolfer turns out to be accused of perjury and lying on the evidence of the case that it couldn't have happened the way he said it did, none of the news media picked it up. AP, UP, LA Times. Only the lone LA Star picked it up. Well, that's like when Garrison was framed, the AP, UP, Life and Time photographed him being carted away handcuffed. When Gervais said he was framed by the Justice Department, only the New Orleans State's item carried it. So you have the L.A. Star going, and it said there is a direct link, and this is where we go to Sirhan, if you don't know the name Kershke. There are both direct and indirect links to the Sirhan Kennedy case, which should have made this case of considerable interest to the Associated Press or L.A. Times, particularly of the direct links in this case, because the head of the Los Angeles Police Department Crime Lab, Dwayne Wolfer, testified as an expert in both these cases, and his testimony was crucial to the conviction of both Sirhan and Jack Kershke. Barbara Blair, a Los Angeles attorney, said in May 1971 that Wolfer had violated the basic precepts of ballistics analysis in these two cases, and a third one also, Mr. Terry, of Sirhan and Kershke, and an independent criminologist, Pasadena criminalist William Harper, who served as a defense expert in the Kursky case. He represented Jack Kursky in the defense, got interested in certain discrepancies, and after the trial, he went to examine the ballistic evidence. And then he went into the Sirhan case because he realized that Wolfer had really fouled up this evidence. And then when the Sirhan case came along, it was the same thing, and it was the same man working for the LAPD. So the forensic chemist went into the case. Now, there, in 19, I brought a copy here of a letter which I had. It was also mentioned in the Star. A criminalist by the name of Marshall Hoots in Trauma Magazine wrote a public article and a letter to Evel Younger about the Kursky case and Dwayne Wolfer. And he had said that, in effect, that you're ruining the credibility of research people and doing investigations. And he says that the job was done so poorly by Dwayne Wolfer and the L.A. Police Department that it's a discredit to the academic profession. And he said in his letter, I have no personal interest in the matter, but I have an academic concern in Wolfer's horrendous blunders in the past and those he will continue to commit in the future if he's allowed his present assignment. See, Dwayne Wolfer was about to be promoted as the head criminalist again in civil service this last year, and it was held up because he fouled the evidence on the prosecution that convicted Sirhan and Jack Kursky that didn't even fit the basic precepts of criminology. So it was held up, and then they begged him, various criminalists, and I have a list of affidavits and declarations of famous people who have done forensic chemistry and so forth, begged him not to promote Wolfer to a position, and Evel Younger did it. On March 24th this year, he made Dwayne Wolfer chief criminalist again. And these people had written a letter saying that the evidence in the case should be straightened out. And they go into, they say that Wolfer misrepresented the evidence in the case. And he said that he had had anatomy courses. And they went to the chairman of the anatomy department, USC. And the teacher, Dr. Paddock, said, it's false. It's not true. It's contrary to my personal knowledge that he took these courses. See, in L.A., we had Brian Stewart, the coroner, saying justifiable homicide of ripping off people down in L.A., blacks and Chicanos. And he turned out not to be a doctor or a lawyer. Now you have Dwayne Wolfer saying, I have certain credits and courses, and they're saying it's absolutely not true. You didn't have those courses. You see the pattern, Phil, running through this thing of phony credits, prosecuting people on evidence that doesn't hold up, and the scientific data examined, and then they go into the question of the ballistics of the Sirhan case. If time's winding up, we'll go back to this next week because I think it's really important.
Also, we'll get into the Kennedy destruction of evidence you mentioned.
Oh, yeah, because well, they brought up the question. Here's a list of questions. It's from the L.A. Star that they asked an investigation of Mr. Wolfer. And they asked him, it says, also missing, Mr. Wolfer, bullets were missing. The gun that Sirhan used was thrown away, and they couldn't find it. And they said, also missing somewhere were Kennedy's left shirt and coat and sleeve and cufflink. And what about that? He said, well, to my knowledge, I wouldn't know where it is. They said, would your notes help you to recall where those things are? And he said, well, there are photographs of the coat in its original condition. Now, see, this is what we have of the John Kennedy car. We have the car in its original condition, then the interior was destroyed. See, we've never seen John Kennedy's car. Well, they asked him questions. Well, don't you have orders of where the shirt sleeve would be or the cufflinks or the coat sleeve? And he says, well, no, I guess they're destroyed. We'll wind up now.
We're out of time.
Out of time.
Got to move.
Okay.
So
well,
by next week, we'll probably have even more information to try and squeeze into 1 hour.
Okay. It's a lot of information, but I think you can all absorb it and not have the news media play down to you what's happening. We're trying to relate some facts.
Thank you, May.
This has been Dialogue Conspiracy, a public affairs presentation of KLRB News. If you have questions that you want answered on future programs or any comments, write Dialogue Conspiracy, KLRB, Box 3904, Carmel, California, 93921. I'm Phil Kogan.
listening to KLRB FM in Carmel.
For you friends, a complete price, only $2,500, and easy money payments for the rest of the week, twice a week, and never on Sunday.
Well, I'll take it. I can't wait to get away from it all.
With the economy in the state that it's in, we at the Sound Cellar felt that we should come up with a good stereo system that you can afford. We've put together the Kenwood 2120 receiver, the Girard 40B automatic record changer with the Shure M3D magnetic stereo cartridge, and a pair of Creative 11 dual cone speakers. This perfectly matched stereo system sounds as good as the price, only $229. Separately, this system would cost over $350, so come down to the Sound Cellar now and save $126 on this good stereo system. The Sound Cellar, the very best in high...